God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. All right, that's my fault. God is good all the time. Okay. Not bad. Today, of course, is a special Sunday as we think about our Lord, His death, His burial, His resurrection. I'm going to give you just a little different slant today. When the Lord was in the upper room, and He talked about the bread and the wine, referencing, of course, His blood and His broken body. He's kind of encapsulated it at the end, and He said, "This do in remembrance of Me." Now, without apology, normally, we always think of His passion, His death, His burial, and resurrection. And of course, we want to think about that today. That is key. That is central. But on the other hand, I think we can broaden that a little bit when He said, "This do in remembrance of Me." Now, half of you don't walk out of here, please, but one of my great heroes is Robert E. Lee. I'm pretty familiar with how he died. But I'm equally or more interested in how he lived. As a matter of fact, that's my interest. Not so much his military strategy, but his spiritual walk with God. And so I can think, as I think of him, I think of different qualities that he manifested during his life. There was the one time, you probably heard this, but when a dying Union soldier was laying on the ground, and as he passed by, his dying Union soldier looked up at him and said, "Yay for the North!" And something like, perhaps, maybe even profanity. And Robert E. Lee got off his horse and walked over to this man, this wounded soldier. And as the wounded soldier was writing about this later, he said, "I thought, sure, as he was walking over, I'm dead." And he walked over, he bent down. He said, "I'm really sorry for you. Let me pray for you." That really stands out, doesn't that? You know, that really stands out. And I want us this morning, for these few moments, as we think of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, think about something in His life that will help us appreciate and love Him more. Not to take away from His death, burial, and resurrection. "This do ye," He said, "in remembrance of Me." It's interesting, the scripture reading this morning is verse, a little note I have here from John 1:10. "He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not." And in a certain sense, in His humanity, He didn't know the world. Now, what I mean by that is the world was going in a certain direction, and just by nature of who He was, Jesus was a stranger in this world. The way He lived, of course, the way He died. I can't imagine. The best illustration I can give, and it's very poor, but has Steve Jobs not died? And he just went on a trip. And then they came back and they had a big reunion of all the Mac and the Apple people and all the a day of appreciation. And he walks through the door. They're all there. They look at him with disdain and say, "Who are you? Get out of our life." I can't imagine. We cannot imagine. We can only say it, but we can't imagine. Because when we speak of Jesus, we speak of the God-man, the theanthropic person, the most unique person that ever graced planet Earth, fully God, fully man, standing before the world and the people that He created presenting himself to them in love that only God can have, and I can only partially fathom. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not, and that condition continues. He was a stranger. Never forget that about Jesus. He's a heavenly being. He would be a stranger to much that's going on in our present culture today. Stranger to the world, and the world strange to him. The point I want to make is that how strange is this world to you? King David understood this very well. Psalm 119, verse 19. David said, I'm a stranger in the world. I'm a stranger in the world. And then he said these words, hide not thy commandments from me. I'm a stranger in the world. Hide not thy commandments from me. It's interesting, two things here. And I challenge you because I think as when the Lord says, this do in remembrance of me, it also encompassed, remember me. Yes, remember my death, my burial, my resurrection, but remember how I lived, and I think implicit in that is, and live that way too. We're all very familiar with the story of Peter. I said, you're one of those guys. You're one of those that belong to Jesus. And he thought, I'm not. And later on, he began to take on the gutter language of the surrounding culture, so that there be no mistakes about it. I don't fault him. I've done that I don't know how many times in my life. Not spoken up when I should have. Gone along to get along. But I want us to take from our study today that the Lord and Master that we serve not only died for us, not only rose again for us, but he lived for us. Paul said, be followers of me, even as I am of Christ. Oh, not to get saved, as some poor cults teach, but to show forth before this watching world that you are gloriously saved. I could make many qualities. His patience, his love, his compassion. But I want to emphasize one thing this morning. He was a stranger. And we need to be sure that we are strangers as well. David saw this, he reacted differently than I see in our churches today. Really? I wear myself out here. He said, we all agree with this. I hope you do. I'm a stranger in the earth. Wasn't that too long ago? I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning, checked on something, and said, whoa, I'm a stranger here. What's going on? But most of us today within Bible-believing circles would phrase this verse as follows. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from them. Is that not true? Be honest. You can't make strangers friends in Christianity. Safe through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And I appreciate David. You know, a man after the heart, he is such an inspiration to me. because he flopped so many times. And yet God looked at him and said, a man after my own heart. And the only thing that common denominator that seems to fit in there is this humility and his willingness to admit that he needed a Savior and he was willing to repent. All of Psalm 51, which when I was dean at Bible Truth Institute, had you been a student there, you had to recite that every day. If you didn't, you'd hear it from me. Because I need that. David came up to his great sin and he came face to face with God. He didn't blame Bathsheba for taking a bath out there where he could see her. He didn't blame the fact that, well, they should have forced me to go out to fight the battle. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. And so David, when he began to grow, said, I'm a stranger in the earth. We all have felt that way. This is an encouragement. Don't feel odd. You are, praise God, that you're a stranger in the earth. But then, remember this. Where's your focus after that? David's focus was his father. I'm a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. Now, that's a manner of speech, just like, lead us not to temptation. God will never lead us into temptation. But it's a negative way of making a positive statement. Lead me in the right path, God. And when he says here, hide not thy commandments from me, he's saying, oh God, please show me how to live. Show me clearly how to live for you because I'm in a strange world. And we might add today, but dear friends, don't be so childish as to think it's only today. But we could add, everybody, they don't have any moral compass. Let's see. Cain, he didn't have a moral compass. No one outside of Christ has a moral compass in an absolute sense. So, I think it's a tremendous challenge. What I'm concerned about is that we go through this blessed time this morning, remembering his death, his burial, and resurrection, and we leave, and it doesn't make any difference as to how we live. I want to explain to you today, as we are remembering the Lord, we're remembering what he did for us, we're remembering how he lived, we remember how he confronted his culture, and we realize he was broken, he was a stranger, and we need to be like him. I won't bore you too much, but I'm going to read part of my most recent newsletter. It will help you underscore what I'm saying. As we approach the Christmas season, I am painfully aware of the fact that I am out of step with much of the holiday activities. I see that this country is headed for a financial collapse, and yet vast multitudes are spending what they don't have to get what they don't need. Fistfights are not uncommon as shoppers purchase stuff. Where does Jesus Christ fit in this Christmas, holiday season? In light of the foregoing, I find myself wondering, what are people thinking? I feel like I'm a stranger in the land of my birth. Then as I take a note of popular morality, or should I say immorality, I become even more conscious of the fact that I am definitely marching to the beat of a different drummer. And at first blush, this observation leaves me, and we've been here, some of us, leaves me distressed and even discouraged. However, when I sit back and examine the Bible, I'm encouraged because I learn that I should be out of step with the sin-darkened views and actions of this world. And it is only by his grace that I am enabled to go against the flow, swim upstream. King David recognized this condition in his time when he said, I'm a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. Quite honestly, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, and I'll pause and say this, this table is for anyone, no matter what denomination or non-denomination or in-between denomination you are in, if you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. If you've come to that point in your life when you've accepted the finished work of Jesus Christ to wash you of your sins, to forgive you, make you a child of God, you can do that right now. But if you refuse to do that, it's not for you. But I want to say something else, and that's my drift today, because I know that most of you are believers. If you're not willing to really live as a stranger before this watching world, if you're more concerned about going along with this world and being popular, you need to give some thought whether you take this as well. Because this communion table is for people who really perfect, good night now. But at least as you sit here, you're willing to have a supple, open heart to how God would lead you in your life. And you're willing, appreciating Him and remembering Him, you're willing to get out there before this watching world and live as a stranger. And don't think for a minute, just because you live two notches above the way the world lives, that constitutes holy living. The world is continuing to go downhill. We're to continue to go uphill. All of the Christian experience should be one of growth. Certainly for me. Quite honestly, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, and walk in lockstep with this world, you have a need to repent and begin once again to be a stranger, once again to be a pilgrim, right now in this present culture. Now, when you do this, many will consider you foolish, outdated. Take heart in the sight of God. You are a faithful ambassador for Christ. Finally, my dear friend, never forget that Jesus Christ looked at this way, Isaiah 53:3. Remember, this is all of us before coming to Christ. He, that's Jesus, is despised and rejected of men, man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. May this Christmas season be a time where you unashamedly live out your faith before the watching world. And this encouraging thing. You're not going to do that. No, I know I'm not. But I have served, and you do, such a gracious, forgiving God. And I don't care where you're sitting right now in your Christian walk. If before you take communion today, you can, in your heart, determine to be more Christ-like. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. How many times you've fallen on your face? That would be me. Wow. This sentence can be true. This will happen before the Lord. Then you will be reproached. Everyone is not going to think it's just hunky-dory that suddenly you're living for Christ. But if you are reproached for living a holy life, take heart! For this means that in some measure, at least, you are living for Him. Living for Him. And so, when Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me, let's keep this in mind. He died for you. He rose again for you. And boy, I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to this. He's coming back for us. But numerous passages talk about the fact that He lived for us. He not only showed us how to live, but He gives us His Holy Spirit so that we can live it out. So the next time you think of this too in remembrance of me, do remember. You are a stranger. You praise God that you are. And don't make decisions to walk in lockstep with the world. Now, it's interesting. I haven't talked about songs. I haven't talked about style of service. I haven't talked about hairstyles. I haven't talked about dress. But Jesus said, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. What I'm concerned about is why you do what you do. Is it to please Christ? Or to be perfectly candid, is it to please the world? That's the issue. And that's a matter between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we're going to, now we'll open up to anyone from the General Assembly who has a word that you'd like to say in response to the Word of God or something else that God has laid on you.